just a few short days, Perry Stone is going to be with us here in the Harvest Worship Center, July the 27th and the 28th. You don't want to miss these services because the 27th starts at 7 p.m., the 28th at 10:30 a.m., and also 6 p.m. that evening. Perry's going to be bringing a word that I believe is going to be encouraging, especially in light of all that's happening. You look at the assassination attempt on President Trump, the turmoil that's in the world. You see lawlessness in our streets and all kinds of things happening. We know this one thing, that our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. We are getting ready to go home. The rapture is getting ready to take place. So don't miss these services coming up July the 27th and 28th, Perry Stone, here at the Harvest Worship Center, the 27th at 7 p.m., the 28th at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. that evening. Come on out and be with us, 21-225 Jeb Stuart Highway in Stuart, Virginia. And God bless you. Amen. Prayer. I think our world today would be quite different if he'd got killed yesterday. Something would have shifted in the spirit. And so we need to really pray over him. So we're going to pray right now and pray for our nation as well. Amen. So, Father, we lift up before you, Lord, President Trump today. God, we're so thankful, Lord, that you spared him. We're thankful that the angel of the Lord is encamped round about him and has delivered him. Father God, because we fear you. Father, we thank you for the prayers of the saints because we fully understand, Lord God, because of those prayers that you answer. But we also understand, Father, we need to beef it up in the spirit. And we need to pray in the Holy Ghost over this man and over this election that's coming up. Father, we pray today for those families, God in heaven, that were had devastation to come to them because of this murdering demonic power, Lord, that was there, Lord. And Lord, we pray, Father God, today for your peace to be with them. Oh, Lord, we know that there's a wrestling match going on in the spirit for the soul of our nation. Oh God, but you're a God of mercy. You're the God of the turnaround. You're the God of revival. You're the God of awakening. And Father, we pray and speak that over this nation. We bind every demonic power and principality, Lord, of lawlessness and immorality and murder in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of confusion, we take authority over that. Lord, and we bind it in Jesus' name and cast it down. Lord, we pray, take vengeance against those demonic powers. Take vengeance against that evil work, God, of those evil spirits in Jesus' name. Father God, for your kingdom come and your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Father, let your face shine upon this nation again. Father, turn it around and remove it from the hands of the wicked in Jesus' name. Father, we pray today for your continued protection over President Trump. Father God, Lord, and Lord, all the leadership, we pray, Father, today for that open heaven over our nation, God, and that the church will take advantage of it and use the name of Jesus as our mighty weapon against every adversary, against all evil, that name above every name. Lord Jesus, we give you praise today. So, Father, we ask you, God, across America, let every church be stirred, experience revival, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But I pray more than anything else for, Lord, that godly, righteous, and sober spirit to be upon the body of believers. Father God in heaven, that you will cause us to be not stuporous, Father God, but astute in the spirit and sharp in Jesus' name. And we give you praise and glory today for your mighty hand upon the church and on this nation, God, for revival. And everybody said amen and amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. And one thing I want to do, if I can get these flowers, the Bible says give honor to whom honor's due. And I know I saw the lady at Patrick Springs. She sells flowers, and I stopped and got them last week, and I got me another bouquet this week. And it is like someone that, you know, they really help in the church in a lot of ways, in a lot of secretive ways. And I know they've been a big blessing to you guys. And it's Cherie Nicholson, and I want her to come down. Yes, amen. Give her a hand clap. I mean, And I know, no, I know this is silly, and I know they're not near as pretty as what the honeypot sells. And I thought, why would I give a lady that owns a flower shop flowers? But only God knows. But I said, if that lady's out there, I'm getting her some today. But we love you. The July 4th thing wouldn't have been near as fun if it hadn't been for you. And I don't, I just want to be careful because she don't like stuff like this, but her reward's in heaven, and I know that. And I, God, don't let anything be taken from her in heaven because of these. I don't think he will. Compared to heaven, I don't think he. But anyway, we love you. There you go. I know. She loves all of us. Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, let's worship him this morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Enjoying the heat? Did you bring your roar with you this morning?
Yes, Lord.
Let's hear it. Roar! We roar out to you, Jesus, the King. You are our King, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Come in this place and roar today, oh God. God of Jacob, great I am, King of angels, Son of man, voice of many waters, song of heaven's throne, louder than the thunder, make your glory known. Lion roar, hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar, hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar, roar. Zion, prophet spoke, our Messiah, flesh and bone. You alone are worthy to open up the scroll. Like the lamb you suffered, but the lion has a you, Lord, in this house today. Oh, come, God. We want you to come and sit down with us, oh Lord. As your church is gathered, we proclaim your liberty and your freedom and your lordship over this house today.
Yes, Lord.
We bless you. Thank you, Lord.
Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord.
Oh valley, be raised up. Be raised. Creation's looking to you. Everything's looking at you. And it's saying, when? When? Oh God, when? When? When will my people rise up? When will my people take their authority? When will my people break every mindset that says, no, we can't have it? When?
Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, we prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord.
Oh, mountain, be made low. Coming, you are coming. Oh, let your fire come to your people. Let your fire come to your church. We decree that in the name of the Lord. Stir our hearts this morning. Here, let's bless his name. Lord, you are worthy. You're the worthy King. Oh, you're the one that we cry out to when a world is falling apart. You're the only one that brings strength. You're the rock we stand on. Amen. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you. God inhabits the praise of his people. He inhabits the praise of his people. He makes that his dwelling place. Amen. You are the one who knows my need. Before I call, You tell the storm when it will cease before it starts. The God above who searches deep within my heart. The highest praise cannot proclaim how great you are. There is none like you, none like you. The faithful one, Jesus. There is none like you, none like you. The faithful one, Jesus. Oh, there is none like you. There is none like you, oh Lord. Bless you. No sacrifice can now repay the debt I owe, or earn this gift of righteousness that was your own. Still I will give myself away to make you known. The name above all other names is yours alone. There is none like you. Thank you. is none like you. is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hand. Precious blood. We are covenant people. Sickness should not be a part of our lives. We bless you, Lord.
Takes away my sin.
Oh, what a love, no greater love. Grace, how can it be that in my sin, yes, even then he shed his blood for me. Oh, the blood
seated. I'm going to ask the ushers to come read your scripture.
Hello, Pastor David Coleman here again. So glad that you've tuned in today to the Harvest Worship Center. I'm going to be preaching a message today by the title of Damaged Goods. You know, a lot of people have been damaged in life, maybe molested or raped or rejected, insecurity, all kinds of things, going through divorce. I believe that God has a word for you today and that you're going to be encouraged and you're going to find out just how important you are to God, and that God is going to reach into your situation and raise you up like you've never been touched before. So today, get your Bible. We're going live into that service right now. things in heaven and earth and beneath the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Think about that. He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Apostle Paul comes along in the book of Ephesians and says that the Father has set him far above all things, far above all principality, power, dominion, and might, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. So there's not a name above Jesus, and there's not going to be a name above Jesus. His name is above all names. And I was sharing this little story, and I've shared this before, you know, probably in my preaching, but you know, a night that we were coming back from Roanoke, Virginia, and it was raining cats and dogs, and I think a few cows even fell out of the sky. And I think it had flooded and everything else, and Brother Doug was driving the van. You know, this is probably back within the 80s. You know, he was driving the van, and so I was in my Thunderbird, and the old Death Wish, that's what it looked like. I remember Death Wish, Charles Bronson. I was in that Thunderbird, it looked like that. And anyway, I said, well, we just pulled up beside the church van. All of a sudden, that Thunderbird just decided it was going to turn around. And so I was going up the road backwards, and I looked up, and Brother Doug was right here. And so I was thinking in my mind, this is not going to feel good, because we're getting ready to go off the road and go down through the medium onto the oncoming traffic. And Deborah said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God is our witness. A mighty hand reached out and got that Thunderbird and took it and parked it on the side of the road. And a tractor trailer was coming. And didn't even hurt the car. Got a little bit of grass on the hubcap. And I said, well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And that's because of the name of Jesus. Somebody say the name Jesus. I think so often we just, you know, we come to church, we get religious, and we think we forget all about what it's about. Got to keep the main thing the main thing. Get rid of the minutia. Somebody say amen. Keep the main thing the main thing. But some of you will recognize this song. I was trying to print it out this morning. Got my iPad out, and I was like beefing up the print, and this is what came out. And I was like, Lord, healing my eyesight too. Hallelujah. So his name is wonderful. What key you got that in? Okay. No, I think it's going. Maybe C. D. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is the master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. For he's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Oh, bow down before him, praise and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. Sing the chorus. Oh, his name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. My God, didn't that make you feel better? Amen. Does me. Thank you, Lord. Damaged goods. Everybody say damaged goods. And I believe this is going to minister to somebody today. the Lord. To be honest with you, I had two messages last week. I was going to minister the one that I ministered, Everlasting Punishment, and then this was the other one. And I had forgot about this message, and Deborah kept saying, she asked me, what are you going to preach on? I said, I have no idea yet. I don't know. The Lord hadn't downloaded it. And so I was sitting there, and I had prayed, and I was just sitting there, and my mind was on something else, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, damaged goods. Damaged goods. I said, thank you, Lord. That's easy. Should have brought my easy button out here. That was easy. Amen. But damaged goods. But have you ever been in the place or a business that has a sign up that maybe captures your eyes that says damaged goods? Have you seen those? Some are in the scratch and dent section. And then some are cast aside because of an imperfection. Some say on it, this won't run. And then others have mechanics special. You ever seen one of those? Mechanics special. Even some have missing parts. Missing parts. But lots of people are this way that I'm talking about this morning. Damaged. They have been torn. They have been bruised or bent. They have scratch and dents on their lives. They have been abandoned. They may be suffering from rejection. They've been cast aside because they didn't make the cut. How many understand what I'm saying? I believe if we could see in the spirit this morning, we could see signs maybe on some people's, hanging around some people's necks that would say damaged goods. Damaged goods. And this is not saying that they cannot be restored or repaired or even made better than before, returned to the original condition. It simply points to the fact that there is a flaw that has occurred. Something's been damaged, a scratch or a dent or some missing piece, a spot or a blemish that may be on the particular item. And sometimes those things cannot even be seen by the naked eye. It looks perfectly good on the outside because the damage is on the inside. Nonetheless, listen to me, the price has been reduced. The price has been reduced for a quick sale, showing that it's imperfect or flawed, or there's a little something that's wrong with it. And see, there's some people now that spend their time shopping for damaged goods. I mean, that's me. That's where I like to go. I said, where's that section that says damaged? I want to find that. And so these people are masters of restoration, you could say. They can see the real value in something, even though it's got a dent or a scratch or somebody says a missing part or one of those things. They say, man, I can fix that. I can fix that. I can make it so that you'll never even know that it's been damaged. I can get the dent out. I can take care of the scratch. I can take care of all the stuff, you know, even though they've discarded it and it's a castaway as far as they are concerned. I know that there are companies that hire individuals that are there to inspect items when they come down the line. And when they find something that's scratched or dent or has a flaw or it doesn't pass their inspection, what do they do with it? They find that imperfection. They look for it. They can cite it, and they'll take it and throw it to the coal pile. Get rid of it. Throw it away. Throw it away. Put it in the junk heap. And there are also people who do nothing but travel around and look for the damaged goods. Because they know the value that's in something that other people say is damaged. That is exactly what God does. Aren't you glad that he that knew no sin was made to be our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him? Because our God knew that we were flawed because of sin. And it doesn't matter, you know, what we look like, what kind of mess that we're in. He's the God of restoration. He's the healer. He's the one that can make us new again. See, his nature is to bind up the broken in heart. and to set at liberty the bruised. Put that scripture up. See, it's slow. So this is our scripture text. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Listen to this. Jesus. Somebody say, if it hadn't been for Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, bleeding on the inside. See, there are hundreds of references in the Bible that point to God's desire to heal us, to repair us, to restore us, to bring us back to that original state that Adam had before sin entered into the picture. I like Jeremiah 29 and 11 because God says, I know my thoughts toward you. They're not thoughts of evil, but they're thoughts of good, to give you a hope and to give you a future. I'm glad God isn't running around or has angels assigned with lightning bolts to come and take us out. Well, Mike Newman sinned. Zap, that's it. Or Deborah shouldn't have done that. Zap. Amen. Some of you saying you thought he would have zapped me. Sure, he took you out a long time ago. But somebody say, God's not that way. God is not that way. So men tell us now that there's some 300 names for the Lord Jesus Christ. Others say 700. And one of my favorite, well, I got a lot of favorites, but one of my favorites is found in Exodus 15 and 26. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Mm-hmm. Another one is Joel chapter 2, where God says, and I will restore unto you the years that the cankerworm, the pommel worm, and the caterpillar has eaten. He's speaking of that devouring spirit that comes into lives. Those devourers that come until there's nothing left but ashes. Ashes and poop is what I say. Dust. Somebody say refuse. But our God, who's the great physician, is a restorer and a deliverer. Isaiah the prophet says it like this, and we read from the New Testament, but this is what Isaiah says. He gives beauty for the ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. So when we say that our God is a healer, what we're really saying is that his desire is to heal and deliver us. What we're really saying is that he wants to cure you. So you may be sitting here this morning, you say, man, I'm beyond curing. I'm so hurt. I'm so bruised. And I was thinking about this. I know that I can touch some people's buttons and bring the bad out. I'm going to say that again. I know that if I got around you long enough that I would know how to punch a few buttons and bring the bad out of you. What do you mean bring the bad out of me? Because you've got a bruise on the inside and you've got rejection, you have insecurity, there's an anger there because of something that's happened in your past. You may even be embittered by it. You're so hurt that you hurt other people. You don't even know how to respond, you know, humanely, let's say, or by the Spirit of the Lord. And see, the enemy knows this because it's his job to make us miserable. He wants us hurt and bruised and battered and beat down. He wants us shackled and in bondage. He wants scratches and dents in our lives. He wants us to be full of shame and guilt and misery and pain. He wants all of the above. You think about this because there are things that happen in our lives that we never plan on. Molestation, rape. Come on. There are things that happen in our lives that people can do to us to damage us. Somebody says something to us in a demeaning way to want to cause us to feel that rejection, because rejection is a bad deal. Somebody say, yes, it is. It causes people to put up a front. It causes people to answer differently. It's not that they're hateful people. It's just that when they get put in a certain spot, that mechanism jumps up in their life and they get on the defense. You see, they're bruised and they're hurt and they're dented and they're scratched and they got all this stuff that's going on in the inside of them. But God wants to heal the brokenness in people's lives. He wants to mend up the cracks that are there. He wants to take care of the damages that have happened in people's souls. He wants to bring them back again to an original state. So if you're broken in life and you have a sign hanging around your neck this morning in the spirit, let's say, and you're out of order, because there's a lot of people that are out of order. Why do I keep going back to that misery and pain? Somebody can talk to me and I'll feel good. I can see the counselor and everything will be wonderful. I can take the pill and feel up, and then all of a sudden I go right back to the same thing that I was in. That's because you're bruised. You're bleeding on the inside. I'm going to say that again. You're bleeding on the inside. I'm going to help somebody this morning. You're scratched. You're dented. You got something going on. You got a missing part in your life. You got to have the right mechanic to come along, and that mechanic's name is Jesus. You're a mechanic special. Come on. Yes. And you've been rejected. You've been cast to the side. People most of the time don't want to hang around people like that. And, you've met people like that. And if you're here this morning, God is going to deliver you. I'm telling you that right now. You will be set free in Jesus' name. Amen. You feel discarded. Set on the shelf, put to the side, excluded in life. You see, if you're that person, then God is looking for you. What are you saying? He's going to the damaged good departments and he's looking right now. See, his eyes are upon the righteous. His eyes run to and fro in the earth looking for people that he can help. Come on now. He's the binder up the broken in heart. He's the mender of the bruised heart. God wants to restore you and put you back in service again, make you better than before. And so in Isaiah 61, again, speaking of Luke chapter number 4, verse 18 that we read this morning, he binds up the broken in heart. I want you to get that, because we read that, we say, oh, that's a wonderful thing. It's like that scripture that Pentecostals hear, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper, in every mouth that rises up against me in judgment, I'll condemn it. Oh, hallelujah! But they have no idea what it means. And when we read things like, he binds up the broken in heart, sets at liberty the bruised. He's the recoverer of the sight of the blind. We can get so emotionally attached to phrases that we go stark raving crazy and jump up and shout and clap and applaud and do all that stuff and walk right back out the door with bruises on us. Blind. We'll walk right back out with missing parts. But the creator of heaven wants to put the right part back in you. The creator of heaven wants to bind up that broken heart. He wants to mend those bruises. You know, it's like the old song says, I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name. Bound, tormented, sick or lame, for the Holy Ghost of heaven is still the same. I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name. See, the church is a spiritual hospital. We got damaged goods here this morning. And you may be rejected or insecure. You may be that person that says, I don't want anybody to find out about the stuff that happened in my life and what people did to me. You may be in that position this morning and you're not able to function as freely and move in the liberty that Jesus has given to you, that is afforded to you the way that you want to. But I'm here to tell you today, before you leave, you're going to have an encounter with the Son of God. You're going to have an encounter with the one who died on the cross and shed his blood to bind up the broken heart. Only that surgeon can reach into your heart, where that uncle or that brother or that neighbor molested you and put you back together again. Only he can reach inside of you and take that pain out by the roots and get rid of it. Somebody say amen. But see, he said he came to appoint to those that mourn in Zion beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garments of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. In Jeremiah 30 and 17, a great verse that tells us, it says, God said, I will heal you and I will take care of your wounds that are in your life. I will heal you of your wounds. I will restore health unto you. I will heal you of your wounds. And see, this word wounds comes with the word that means distresses. I'll heal you of your distresses, because what happens to us is when we get on the stage of life
and we get in the presence of certain people, we cringe and fear that they're going to see something in us that's damaged. We cringe that we're not going to be able to function or perform like we really should because we're damaged on the inside and you're stressed out. Well, I've got a word for you today. He does what? He said, I'm going to heal you of your wounds, your distresses, your hurts. I'm going to take care of the blows that have come consistently against your life that are meant to damage you and take you out. I love this because if you're in the room alone and in the closet, you've got the lights out and you're in the dark. The light of the world is getting ready to walk in and turn your situation around. Jesus is going to take care of it. His name is Wonderful. Listen. In Psalm 103, verse number 2. No, let me go back up just a little bit. I don't want to miss this. He said, I'm going to heal you of all the blows that came against you, and I'm going to restore to you. This word restore is so important because it comes from the word aleh, and it means, it says, I will bring you up. I will bring you up. Everybody say, he's going to bring me up. I'm going to bring you up. Now listen to me. It means I'm going to cause you to ascend. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? He that had clean hands and pure heart. Listen, I'm going to cause you to ascend. I'm going to cause you to go up to a high place because the damages in your life have caused you to be in low living. Nobody's accepted me. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody knows about my damages. I've been married 12 times and I still can't get the right person. It's because of bruises and hurts that are on the inside. It's the rejection, it's the insecurity, it's the pain. And there's no cure. No doctor can cure you. But the great physician, Jesus, can take care of it. Somebody say amen. I will restore unto you. He said, I'm going to come into your down place and I'm going to walk with you and we're going to ascend up to the presence of the Lord and I'm going to take you into a high place and you're not going to be in low living any longer. You're going to start living on the mountaintops. You're going to start living and grazing in the presence of the King of Kings. Man, I love this. Psalm 103 verse 2, he forgives all of our iniquities. He heals all of our diseases. Psalm 147 verse 2, the Lord doth heal the broken in heart and he binds up their wounds. See, I want to tell you this morning, it matters not the condition that you're in today. It matters not what dilemma that you're in, past, present, or even the future that you might be thinking about. What matters is it doesn't matter about the diagnosis that you may receive from people or counselors. Come on now, because he can turn it around. Somebody say amen. He can turn it around. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John's gospel as they are watching him do mighty works, says these words to them. He said, the works that I do, that you see me do, what you see me doing right now, Peter, you vacillating, impetuous person. You, Peter, that's here one day. You know, you heard the rooster crow and you turned into a chicken. You, Peter, I'm talking to you. He said, I'm going to make you a man of God, and I'm going to make you like a rock in the church, and I'm going to give you a foundational ministry where you're going to be able to raise things up out of the heaps of ashes. Come on, somebody. Somebody say he turns it around. He turns it around. You think about what he did for Hezekiah. You remember Hezekiah in the Bible when the prophet walked in and looked at him and said, you're going to die. Get your house in order. The Bible said that he turned his face to the wall and he prayed and that God heard him. And before Isaiah could get out of the court of the king, that God spoke to him again and said, go back and you tell Hezekiah that I've seen his tears, I've heard his cry, and I'm going to add to his life 15 years. Don't tell me that God can't turn it around. Listen, this is the amazing thing about it. And so he says, you know, you want God to cause the sun to move forward 10 degrees so that you'll have a sign that he's going to do this thing for you? Because some of us sitting here today, the reason that we walk out the door damaged is because we really do not believe that God is going to do it. And we can't be faithless. We've got to believe that Jesus can do anything because all things are possible to him that believeth. And I'm going to tell this to you this morning. He died so that he could give you some faith to believe that you can receive that miracle that could turn your life around. And I love Hezekiah's response because he's like us. What did he do? He said, nah, man, that's too easy for God to make a son move forward 10 degrees. He said, but let him move it back 10 degrees. What's he saying? I want some lost time. I want to gain it back. The devil robbed me of some stuff, and I want it brought back to me, because God can reach back into the past and bring back to you stuff that the devil stole. He's going to get your missing parts in your yesterday and bring them into your today so that you can function in your future. Come on. Oh, you gotta listen. Listen. Hezekiah got what he asked for. Can you imagine those old farmers being out in the field and those sheep herders? And they think, man, it's almost punch out time. And then the sun moves back. Hey, what's going on here? Well, you mean I gotta work another 4 or 5 hours? Oh, yeah, man, the sun's just coming up. You can thank Hezekiah for this. But see, what I want you to understand this morning is that God will go to any length to get to you what is going to make you whole again. God will go to any place, find you anywhere, wherever you're at. If you take the wings of the morning and go get out of here, if you make your bed in hell, it doesn't matter where you're at. He's going to find you. He wants you to understand, I want to heal you. I want you whole, because you can't be 100% for me if you're sick and battered and bruised and beat down and you've got those touchy places in your life where you're in offense and things like that. God said, look, I want you to come in under my reign and in my presence and sit at my table, so that when you leave here, you're fat and sassy, come on, and full of the Holy Ghost and fire, so that you can get out there and do what you're supposed to do in my kingdom. Somebody look at somebody and say, you always do better when you feel better. Mm-hmm. How many believe that? I do. Glory to God. Have you ever got up one morning and say, I think I'm going back and get into bed and get up on the other side and see if anything changes? I got up this morning. Guess what I woke up to? Cat's eyes looking right straight at me. Meow. It's eating time, Master. It's eating time. But see, what he was doing when he was speaking to the disciples, when he said to them, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. He was placing a hope and a future within their hearts. He was speaking to the dream on the inside of them. He wanted them to come into the reality that when all hell broke out in their tomorrow, in their future, that they could hear the words of Jesus say, greater works than these shall you do. If I deliver the Gadarene demoniac, I will truly deliver you. If I rebuke the winds and the waves and calm the storm, I will definitely do it for you. If I move the sun back for Hezekiah, I will do it for you. Whatever that you need, God says, if you're like the leper that turned around with a nose missing and an ear gone and some fingers down that had just nubs, and he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I'm telling you, the God of restoration reached down into the dust of the earth and got those people's ears and fingers back of those lepers and put it back on them. The Bible said that they were healed as they went. Come on, that's faith moving forward toward God. Somebody say hallelujah. My God, it makes me want to run. I'd be like Brother Lowry. Say, will you run for me? In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says this. Look, guys, if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you should speak to that sycamore tree and obey you, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Absolutely nothing. You see, from Genesis to Revelation, we see this great truth about God. He is a restorer. Somebody say he's a restorer. He sees your worth. He created you in his likeness and in his image. He designed you to be a success. He made you to thrive and not just survive in life. He made you for greatness in this world. He made you to be the commander of your days. Somebody say, yes, he did. And so there's a story in 2 Samuel chapter number 9. There's a young boy who is destined to live in royalty. He's the grandson of King Saul. His daddy's name is Jonathan. He's destined for the throne in Israel. His name is Mephibosheth. Everybody knows Mephibosheth in the Bible. But when he was 5 years old, something happened, and his kingly future was taken from him. You see, his grandfather, Saul, and his daddy, Jonathan, were killed in battle in the same day. And when word reached the kingdom again, the servant Ziba, who was there to watch over Mephibosheth, ran and got him as we're going to carry him to safety. And he fell and dropped young Mephibosheth. And the Bible said that he became lame in his feet. Everybody say lame in his feet. So the dreams of young Mephibosheth becoming king one day were no more, because they were trying to hide him. And I would say that most every one of us have or have had great dreams in our lives. How many have a dream? A dream. The dream of someday maybe becoming a doctor, a lawyer, a fireman, a policeman, a world traveler, a singer. I mean, there's 10,000 things that we could talk about. If I could just get my degree or a doctorate in this or a doctorate in that, if I could just have that. Somebody's dream may be to have a family, to have grandchildren, all the different dreams that are out there. But many things can happen to interfere with our hopes and our dreams of a future. Come on. Things we didn't ask for. But I want to say to you today that God's dreams never die. God's dreams never die. The scripture says, in fact, he watches over his word to perform it. You may not understand this, but in your lameness, like Mephibosheth had, lame in his feet, in that condition, God was still watching over his word to perform it in his life. God was still out to do him good and not evil. Come on, somebody. And in our lameness, we're the same way. Whatever that the enemy brings in our life that looks like he's robbing us of our hope, he's robbing us of our future, I can guarantee you this, that if you'll stay on the path and if you'll continue to believe and pray that God is leading you to a brighter day. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you that God is leading you to the place that you're going to obtain that promise, that you're going to see it come to pass if you won't let it go and if you won't give up on it, but that you'll tell your enemy, devil, you are not taking my future from me. You're not going to have it. You didn't give it to me, and you're not taking it away. In the name of Jesus, I command you to loose it and let it go. I mean, we got to think about God here. Lazarus is in the grave 4 days. He's decaying. He's stinking. Somebody say amen. But when Jesus walks up, he doesn't hesitate. He said, roll the stone away. Now, when they rolled that stone away, I can't even begin to imagine what odor may have came out of that. But I can tell you this, everybody was aghast when Jesus yelled out and said, Lazarus, come out of that grave. And the Bible said he came bound hand and foot out of that grave. And what did Jesus say? Loose him and let him go. Why? Because he said what you see is grave clothes wrapped around a decaying body. But I want you to understand what you see hopping out of that grave is being healed of every hop that he takes, because I've recreated what the enemy tried to steal from him, and what is decayed and what has been lost. You just unloose him. You unwrap him now and loose him and let him go, because you're going to hear Lazarus begin to preach and praise the name of the Lord. Somebody say amen. Oh, listen to me. So David has now come to the throne. Remember, Saul wanted him dead, but Jonathan was his best friend. And so David has come to the throne. He's been on the throne now for 9 years. Mephibosheth is all forgotten about. He's not even on the mind of David. David doesn't even know Mephibosheth exists. Come on now. And so you can kind of say that Mephibosheth is probably thinking, I'm going to be in this condition all my life. And so here David is. He's now the king. He's been there for 9 years. His arch enemy, Saul, is no more. But he also has lost his best friend, Jonathan. David's kingdom is secure now. He's greatly blessed by God. He's ruling the greatest nation on earth. And the people of the kingdom literally love David. And all of his enemies are now destroyed and subdued. His territory has spread 10 times over. Listen. And so one day he's just looking at everything that he has. I mean, he's came from the sheep pen. He's came from the caves. He's came through his life being sought every day by King Saul to where he's presently at. And now, 9 years later, he's just sitting there and he's looking at everything. And all of a sudden, something begins to stir in him. Somebody said, what is that? That's God watching over his word to perform it. It's what's getting ready to happen. He's remembering his friend, Jonathan, to whom he made a friendship of covenant with. And David was a covenant-keeping man. And so he is referring, when he's beginning to meditate upon that, he's looking back at it and he's contemplating on it. And the Bible said that he asked the question, is there nobody in the house of Saul that I can do good to? I remember my friend Jonathan, how that he helped me and that he was with me and how that he loved me and I loved him and what a great relationship that we had together. And so I want to read this scripture to you. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him to David, the king said unto him, so David is speaking to Ziba, Ziba, is that you? And he said, your servant is here. And the king said, is there not yet anybody of the house of Saul that I can show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son. Now, when you receive that information and it's your best friend and you know that he died in battle, if you hear that, your heart's going to leap on the inside. Oh, there really is somebody that I can do kindness to. Jonathan has a son. Jonathan has a son. And he also is lame on his feet, Ziba says. And the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. See, Lodabar means pastureless place. And we need to get this right here because it's like living in obscurity. It's like hiding out because you're afraid that if David finds you, he's thinking about Saul and he's going to want you dead. But things have changed here. David is looking to do something good for the house of Saul because of Jonathan. He's not even thinking about Saul. He's in Lodabar. And now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said to him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. And what? I will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Verse 8, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? You know what Mephibosheth was saying? I'm damaged goods. I've got missing parts. I am broken. I have scratches and dents all over me. I'm no good for anybody. I'm just like an old dead dog that nobody wants nothing to do with. I was just looking to live out my life down here in Lodabar because that's the place that I really belong. But David has come into his life. Somebody say he's a type of Jesus. Just like Jesus comes to us. He comes and he says, oh, Mephibosheth, understand this, that I'm out to do you good and not harm. Then the king calls Ziba, Saul's servant, and he said to him, all right, Ziba, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertains to Saul and to all of his house. There, therefore, and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in his fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread at my table. Somebody say hallelujah. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. And then said Ziba to the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Hallelujah. And see, the power of that story is this. When David restored everything that was taken from Saul and from Saul's kingdom and restored it back to Mephibosheth, you know what he's saying? He said, look, you may think that you're lame and you may think that you're no good and you may think that you're an outcast, but I'm elevating you to a position that like you're my son and you're going to eat at my table from now on, and those servants out there are going to take care of everything else for you, for I have restored you. Somebody say, I have restored you. What did he do? He reached down to Lodabar and he brought him up and he caused him to ascend. And what did he do? He elevated him to the place of the presence of the king, where he could sit every day and eat in the presence of the king at his table. Somebody say amen. See, what I'm telling you today is you don't have to sit at the devil's table and hear him tell you you're no good, you're a nobody, you'll never be nothing, you've been molested, you've been raped, you asked for it, you shouldn't have done that, you were disobedient, you were rebellious. Listen, that's what sin does for you. But the moment that the red blood of Jesus washes over your sin-stained soul, honey, you're washed whiter than snow. You're perfect by his blood. Somebody say amen. And you are restored to that place with the Father. And guess what? You sit down at the king's table, and when the king looks at you, he's going to say, you're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I'm going to give you beauty instead of ashes. Garments of praise are going to be placed upon your life. I'm going to give you oil of joy instead of mourning. You're going to have servants that wait on you hand and feet. You're living in my house and sitting at my table, and I want you to understand that those servants out there, they're the ones that are reaping the harvest and taking care of the flocks, but the money is coming into your account because it belongs to you. It's back pay for what the devil did to you when you were 5 years old, and I'm claiming interest in your life. Come on, somebody. God always makes the devil pay interest. Somebody say, yes, he does. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both feet. You do understand that the king didn't want those kind of people in his presence, don't you? But he said, Mephibosheth, there's no exclusion where you're concerned. Because when I look at you, I see you got two legs and two feet. And you're going to sit at my table. Oh, yeah, I'm going to finish this up. Somebody say, all right. You remember when the Israelites were getting ready to leave Egypt and they sit down for the Lord's Passover? That's the table of the Lord. And when they sit down to eat that Passover meal of that lamb for a house, the Bible said that when they ate the lamb, somebody say, when you eat at the king's table, when you eat Jesus, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. When they sat down at the king's table under that old covenant, a type and shadow of the Lord's Supper, when they ate that, the psalmist writes and tells us that when they left Egypt, they left with its wealth, with silver and gold, and there was not a sick one or a feeble one among them. Because when you sit and you eat at the king's table, he restores to you everything that's been stolen by the adversary. It was 430 years that the enemy owed those Israelites when they were leaving Egyptian bondage. And I can guarantee you that their carts and their wagons were loaded up with silver and with gold and pots and pans and herds and everything that they were going to need on their journey so that God would take care of them, but they would be lavished with the blessing of the Lord. Somebody say amen. But the greatest part is this, is that God said, look, you're not going to have to worry about being sick anymore, about the arthritis, about the bursitis, about the diabetes, about the cancer, about the tumor, about any ailment that's coming against your life, because if you sit down at the table of the Lord and you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you can stand up and begin to say, I am the healed of the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, that he has redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. Come on now, somebody. So what am I telling you? I'm telling you that the bruises and the scratches and the dents on the inside of you and on your life, that Jesus will heal them. He will make you whole. He will make you whole. I think Deborah was sharing with me yesterday about the new seasons of, let me think. I can't, the name of the, with Jesus. Remember they brought the woman to him. There was a woman that wanted healing and he didn't heal her. The chosen, that's right, the chosen. But see, somebody slipped a little bit of religion in that one. Because the Bible says, somebody saying scripture cannot be broken. You don't put your faith in what you see in a movie. You put your faith in what that Bible says. And what does the Word of God say? That he will not cast anybody aside that comes to him. If you come to him, you're going to get it. I said, if you come to Jesus, you're going to get it. I said, if you come to Jesus, you're going to get it. And you might even get a little extra more. Amen. And I'm closing with this. Go ahead and stand with me. Come on up, Jennifer. Some years ago, I was in South Boston preaching a meeting down there on a Sunday night. Deborah and I drove down to minister at a church down there. And there was a man that came to the altar. And, you know, we had preached on healing that night, and there were all kinds of people down there we were praying for. But this man came up, and he said, man, my shoulder's been hurting. I guess it was his rotator cuff. And so we prayed for him. And I said, how do you feel? I said, move that arm around, move it around. And he said, well, it's still got a little something going on. And I said, well, Jesus prayed three times. I said, well, if we have to pray three times, we're going to pray three times because God's going to do this. And so we prayed the second time. We prayed the third time. And so he said, it's feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good. So I got back home, and Monday morning we got a phone call. And the pastor, he called and he said, it was a man that you prayed for that came down to the altar. I said, you talking about the guy with the shoulder that we prayed for? He said, yes. He said, you ain't going to believe this. I said, what? He was born without an eardrum. And he woke up this morning and heard a watch ticking on his nightstand. See, God always does a little extra. Somebody say amen. Somebody say he always does a little extra. And I love that. The devil's into subtraction. God is into multiplication and addition. And so that guy was, you know, he was happy, shouting and praising the Lord. Mephibosheth had to have been a happy individual that day that the king restored everything. He's probably thinking, you know, the king keeps looking at him and says, I'm going to give you everything as your grandpa had. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you all his herds. I'm going to give you all his land. I'm going to give you all this stuff your daddy had. I'm going to give it all. I'm going to give it all to you. And number one, he said, your servants are going to take care of it all. And you, I got something else. I'm going to have to add a little something extra here for Mephibosheth. He's looking at him. He's thinking, I'm a dead dog. He's building me up. He's going to kill me. He learned to think that way. And he said, from now on, you're going to sit at my table every day. You're going to live in my house like my son. Oh, my God. Like my son. Like my son. You're going to eat at the king's table every day. Every day. God always gives a little extra. So this morning, whatever your need is, whatever sickness, whatever disease, whatever crushing blow that the enemy's brought against your life, and I want you to really think about this. You do not have to carry that excess baggage. And the way that I'm going to give this altar call this morning is that nobody's going to know what you came down here for. Anywhere from a toe ache to a mole. Anything from a financial breakthrough that I need peace. Anything from the crack of dawn that needs to be welded back together again to the broken heart of men and women that need to be touched.
Just a few short days, Perry Stone is going to be with us here in the Harvest Worship Center, July the 27th and the 28th. You don't want to miss these services, because the 27th starts at 7 p.m., the 28th at 10:30 a.m., and also 6 p.m. that evening. Perry's going to be bringing a word that I believe is going to be encouraging, especially in light of all that's happening. You look at the assassination attempt on President Trump, the turmoil that's in the world. You see lawlessness in our streets and all kinds of things happening. We know this one thing, that our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. We are getting ready to go home. The rapture is getting ready to take place. So don't miss these services coming up July the 27th and 28th, Perry Stone, here at the Harvest Worship Center. The 27th at 7 p.m., the 28th at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. that evening. Come on out and be with us. 21-225 Jeb Stuart Highway in Stuart, Virginia. And God bless you.